message.
Hey, what's up, Rasa? See, what's up with all you guys? I'm on my lunch break. Yeah, man, keep doing it. Love it. Love it, love it, love it, bro. You're the best part of your motherfucker, man. You're the best. You do, Rodrigo Torres, always rocking it. Wife, Miss Lisa, Mrs. Lisa, as part of this, you rocks it, bro. This is the best. Keep doing it, man. All right, bro. Be cool, man.
End of message. Delete. Press 7. Save. Press 9.
Don't try to run. Don't try to hide.
What's up, Fool Podcast with Felipe Esparza
and Rodrigo Torres.
What's up, Fool? What's up, everybody? Shout out to Ted Martinez in Reno.
Yeah, man.
And shout out to at SlickRick211 from Fresno. What's up, Fool? Also, shout out to everybody that went to the Fresno show. It was sold out.
Hell
Tower
yeah.
Tower Theater. Shout out to that guy that hung out with us in the parking lot at the end with your girlfriend. And we hung out there 2 years ago before that.
Hell yeah, dog. That shit was cool.
Also, man, everyone who came out to Merced, thank you very much, man. And hopefully one day, man, we'll find a way to close down every massage parlor in Merced. And not just the ones that were on 16th Street. It's weird, man. In Merced, it's like a crazy motel, Thai restaurant, one of those Mexican places that sells fucking lengua, laundromat, and another massage parlor.
Mean massage parlors, then
huh? Probably the ghetto. In Merced, I'm not a diva or nothing, but I hope to be one, you know? Right now, I don't have the stuff that other people get, you know? And I don't complain about anything, man. Especially like if someone else books a hotel, you know. But when you're selling out a show, they should fire you a hotel, man. I don't like hotels like that doesn't have a lobby. Like if the guy has to wake up and check you in, see, you can't be putting me there no more. Those are the kind of place I would go there to do crack.
The whole family's working at the hotel, huh?
The whole family. That's a bad thing, man. When the mom and dad are there working too, and they're eating while they're checking you in, it's time to leave. It could be an East Indian family, Armenian, Salvadorian, Mexican. It don't matter who it is, man. But your mom shouldn't be eating breakfast while you're checking someone into the hotel.
They find a hooker under the bed.
So we stood at the hotel. I'm going to say the name only because I don't care. The Roadway Inn. on Motel Center Drive. First of all, that's the first sign when you know you're going to stay at a shitty hotel. That the street is called Motel Center Drive. And it's funny, when the street starts, the Motel Center Drive starts as soon as you leave a hotel.
Oh, right there, dog.
Yeah, once you leave the Marriott, then it's all fucking motels. Roadway Inn, Express Inn, and then over there by that bar, Where
Cool right, Cats?
Cool Cats, bro. Cool Cats is one of those clubs, man, where you could show up with your wife and she could have a hickey on her neck. She could be pregnant, pushing a stroller, and someone will still walk up to you and go, "Hey, homie, is that lady with you, bro? Is he your lady or what?" Like that, man.
And real,
though. Like that, fool. It was kind of a place where it's not hard to find a 49-year-old man with a fat hickey on his neck.
Representing, dog.
Representing, bro.
Veterano style.
Veterano style.
But you bailed out, huh? You said, fuck that, eh?
Fuck that, dog. No, let me tell you what happened, man.
Tell us, dog.
First of all, man, I opened up my back window of the door, and there was this redneck family across the street, and they were filling up their above-ground pool.
they finished filling it up on the day we left, dog.
Above-ground pool, right? Not only that, their backyard was like my grandma's yard, you know? But she lives in the desert, bro. There's no grass.
Fucking water crisis.
You know, like, her back, like, I guess these people who live across the street from the motel, they miss Indio, bro.
I spied on those fools, dude. They were all smoking joints in the back. And I know, shit, man. Eating chips.
And then there was a little kid and his fucking little Latino friend and black friend. They were walking around the corner of the side of the house smoking cigarettes. Nobody's going to know.
Those fools had nothing to do, dog.
So I'm laying in the bed, man, and I always flip the top sheet off, you know, to see what's going on. Because the top sheet of the hotel, I don't care what hotel it is. It could be 4-star. That top sheet, they never clean it. So I took it off.
Good bed, bro.
And right there, bro, there was 4 horchata stains.
That wasn't horchata, dog.
Okay, bro, I'm trying to be nice. I'm trying to give the hotel the benefit of the doubt.
Some DNA player.
Yeah, man. If I had one of those purple lights, you know. So I could just tell, man. It was crusty. And then I said, I called up the front desk. First of all, there was no iron in the motel. You got to leave a deposit for the iron.
Fucking scandalous, dog.
Yeah, man. That hotel was one of the hotels where the maid was still your towels.
Dude, when did that fool book the rooms, dude? The day before?
I think he booked it before we left. So I asked the lady, could you come over here, man, and change my blankets? You know, they're a little messy. And she comes up, and then I pointed at where it was. Then I go to the bathroom while she's changing. And then she puts another sheet over, and she says, I have to go get another blanket. Why? That one's stained, too.
God damn.
So they don't wash the blanket, bro. They recycle them.
Scandalous.
They just switch them from room to room.
Slashing prices, fucking hotel, dog.
Yeah, my hotel was right next to those stairs, bro. Like, if I had my window open, I could see people pass by while I'm eating cereal. Like, I couldn't sit on my table with a window open because I would have to greet everybody. Like, hi, I'm the second floor lobby. How you guys doing? Can I check you into the roadway in?
Food, what about the big-ass train, dog?
Food, who do we get there? Larry Bubbles asked them if they have a gym. A gym. A gym.
Jim's Burger.
Bro, you don't see me holding an iron right now? You're asking for a fucking gym?
Gotta work out.
Then he asked them, where'd be a good place to jog around here? And that guy looked at him like, nowhere.
Jogging place. Hey.
I see what you got to do, I told him. Man. You got to wait till it gets dark and then jog to that McDonald's sign and then try to make it back. That's the prize. Making it back with your life. So, man, there was a swimming pool there, but that shit was locked.
Somebody drowned last week, dog.
Yeah, man. And everybody that... Every hotel room in Merced was filled up because I guess they were graduating from university, yeah. Merced, Cal State, or Merced, UC Merced. So all the rooms were taken. So everybody else that was staying in that room was tripping out how shitty it was, right? So I made it even shittier, bro. I fucking took off my T-shirt and I just hung out by my stairs, chicken, mad dogging everybody coming in, bro. And then squeezing my titty and shit and making it look, you know, like the way it's supposed to be, bro. I was dressed for the part. And they're worried about their car. Shit, I'm worried about my car.
They're worried about their Harley too, dog. Oh.
So what's up, fool? What's up, fool?
Chilling, dog.
Born in Boyle Heights. Anthony Citric Campos is in the house.
Hell yeah. What's up, brother? How you living, dog?
What up, man? What's up, man? Fool? How you guys doing?
Good, man.
What's up, fool?
You know us, man. We're just talking about, I'm pretty sure you stood at bad hotels.
I still do, man. What are you talking about?
I work for TV Land.
It's not about the money. Just trying to, you know, save a little money.
Hey, man. So you're from the area, man. Speaking of hotels. You ever stood at that? You ever stood at the Days Inn right there on Commerce?
A couple times.
Yeah, that was all right, though.
It was good for a minute.
Dude, I stood at the Comfort Inn one time on Mednick. Over there on Mednick and Cesar Chavez, across the street from the 7-Eleven. It's a Comfort Inn. It's a hotel right before you get to Maravilla Projects.
Yep.
And it's run by Maravilla, probably. And you go over there, and right before you get to East LA College, dude. I found one time when I was there with my baby mama and my kids, we were broken up. So I would tell them, let's get a hotel, honey. So the kids, would be at 7-Eleven eating Doritos with nacho cheese while we're turning it up. and I found a hypodermic needle, bro.
Where?
Under the bed.
God damn.
Yeah, it's a straight crack motel right there, man. Or hotel.
That place, bro, is where, like, that hotel basically is one of the hotels where you meet a girl. Like, if you meet a girl at Quiet Canyon, Quiet Canyon is this nightclub in the city of Montebello or Garfield. And right there, it's a golf course, by the way. It's a golf course. But the golf course turns into a club Tuesdays through Saturday. And that was the place to be, man, on Tasty Tuesdays.
Yo,
it was. Look at him.
I lived down the street from them.
And it was 2 for 1.
God damn.
And 2 drinks for the price of 1. No, it was Tasty Tuesday, 2 for the price of 1, right? And, man, and then on Saturdays or on Fridays, it was free before 8. Man, I used to get to the club at 7, bro, just to get in free. Oh, I'm right there outside getting dodging golf balls. I used to get to the club early not to pay, bro.
Save that extra $10, dog.
And then I would just hide with the bathroom, you know, but so they would think I'm all there all day.
The longest shit.
And I wasn't even drinking back then or smoking pot. I was sober, fool.
They thought you were part of the staff of it.
Hell yeah, man. But now I know better, man. I don't get nowhere early, man. Like, especially at, like, a Mexican birthday party, Latin birthday parties. Never. Or a black birthday party. Don't ever. Or period, man. Don't even ever. If the party says noon, be there at 2 p.m.
You already know.
Be there at 2 p.m. Because if you get there at 11:30 or noon, you will be putting up stringers. You will be blowing up balloons with your mouth. They're gonna put you to work. So that's why, man, I show up. The party says are noon. I show up at 3 o'clock with my present. Everybody's leaving. I get my cake and go home. I hate, man, when the cake doesn't start soon enough.
Like, wait to the end.
Like, everybody already ate. You got your third plate, you know, the little baby's all cagada on the jumper. And you're like, man, Senora, have you noticed that the big jumper, the air is coming out already? Can we get to that cake already, please? The ice cream is melting.
Tonight.
The DJ wants to go home.
I think the cake and ice cream should be the first thing they serve, man.
Oh, man, it should. Man.
Dessert first.
Dessert, exactly.
And it better not be from Phoenix in Chinatown. You ever had that? Of course you had that.
Yeah.
Phoenix Bakery, bro, opened in 1938 in Chinatown, bro, by the Chinese family, bro.
Classic.
They're known for their Cool Whip strawberry cake.
Yeah, sounds good.
But no, that shit's not sweet, though.
Bland as fuck.
You want to get a real birthday cake, man, with a lot of sugar and a lot of fucking El Pavo Bakery, man.
Yep.
Or La Favorita on 4th Street in 4th and Soto. Right there, man, is where I used to practice shoplifting, bro. I started shoplifting on Soto and 4th Street when it was a Safeway, bro. I was the king, bro.
Felipe Five Fingers.
As soon as I left Hollenbeck Junior High School, I used to go with my friend, I don't know his name. I think it was Edwin. He had curly hair. He looked Puerto Rican. And his other friend named, I forgot his name too, Carlos. He looked Puerto Rican too. And we used to go in there, bro, and just steal Snicker bars, bro. And M&M's. I don't know why. Dude, that guy Edwin was crazy, dude. He got a box. He made a wood shop, a box, and he put it, opened it, and he put all the candy in there and walked out. And then I get busted 2 days later, bro. And start ratting everybody else who's still there. I'm not the only one, you know.
Damn. There
should be a guy here coming at noon with a box.
Started singing like a canary.
Yeah, man. The next day, though, I still went back to that Safeway, bro. And they kicked me out. But I wanted to let them know.
No fear.
No fear, man. But I don't shoplift no more, man. But sometimes, dude, I do take shit by accident. I forget, bro.
It happens, man.
It happens. I'm sorry, man.
What happens are hard to break.
I didn't mean to walk up with a car battery. I used to know fools that would steal shit all the time, man.
Tires.
No matter where they were at, they would take something. Like this dude, they used to call him Güero because he just looked Güero. He was an alcoholic. He had that one little tooth, you know, from doing too much coke. But the rest of the teeth were all right. And that fool would always steal from any auto shop. He was always steal that little ball that you put behind of a truck to tow something.
A little tow hitch?
The tow hitch. He was the king of stealing tow hitches, bro.
Damn.
Why? Because it was easy, or
he just put his grab it, man.
When you get money for it,
I like collecting them, dog. How about the pad, huh?
He have it all over his doors.
My new doorknob, you know.
His bathroom door with balls hanging.
He had his own little collection.
Yeah, man. So getting back to that hotel, man. I know you were listening, and that have you ever that bed? It was a cum stain, man. I ain't gonna lie. It was a cum stain, you know. Oh, and I'm pretty sure did he put that blanket on the floor and let the baby walk in, then he threw up on it.
That's why I just take my own blanket everywhere I go, man.
It's cool, dog. It's San Marcos over here.
Where is my San Marcos?
I do a ghetto style, man. I carry my own blanket in my car everywhere I go, man.
Taking no chances.
I want to start carrying my own pillows, man.
That too, man.
I got like the best pillows in the whole wide world, man.
Right now?
You like your pillows soft, citric, or you like them hard or mushy?
Like I'm in between.
Me too. Like I like my pillow to be soft. But the inside to feel like you stuff a bunch of dirty clothes inside.
Lumpy.
Lumpy. Yeah, I love it lumpy, bro. Because then I could mold it. And then I put my arm under it. And man, and I know I'm in deep sleep when I got to wake up and put my hand in the air and go, hallelujah. Because my hand fell asleep. Because every morning I wake up, man, and my hand is asleep. And I got to raise my hand, bro. To let the blood come back. Because you know, when you're fucking fat, bro, you fucking fall asleep. I'm pretty sure anybody who's over 270 pounds, they can't fall asleep sideways. What happened, bro? Oh, man, fucking my knee can't fall asleep.
Sitting down all the time everywhere I was at.
Damn, yeah, dog.
If I would have been sitting here, you know, you might turn around and I'll be asleep snoring, man.
So, what's up? Boo! Did you grow up in Boyle Heights, man? Anyways, I'm going to introduce you properly, man.
Yeah, man.
This guy right here, I met a long time ago. Sounds like Barry Katz. All right. Anthony Citricampo, the first time I ran into him, we met at in 2008 or early 2009. I was doing a movie with John Turturro and Paul Rodriguez called The Deported. I'm trying to make it sound cooler. Okay, it was Nicholas Turturro.
His brother.
From The Longest Yard. And he and Joey, that's right, it was Joey Coco Diaz, cocksuckers. And Joe Diaz said, Felipe, they're looking for a fat Mexican to be a cowboy. Because you're going to read for it, but you might get it already. Because I talked to Nick Turturro and Paul Rodriguez.
Hell yeah.
So when I go over there, I read for Nick Turturro first. We read. He likes me. And then I read for the director of the movie. He likes me. And then I knew I got the part when they told me, whatever you do, try not to lose weight in the next 2 weeks. I was born for this role. So I started working in this movie called The Deported. This is one of those movies, man, that you can find
on iTunes, no?
On iTunes? No, you can't find it no more because
on Netflix for a minute.
It was on Netflix for a minute. It was on Netflix for a minute to the actors who are on SAG were trying to get money. So pulled.
And they got pulled.
Yeah.
Damn.
The movie that they deported was kind of like Born in East LA. Kind of, but not really. So on one of the scenes we were working, we were filming the movie over there by Santa Clarita.
In the valley.
In the valley, and it was cold as a motherfucker.
Raining.
And rain
hard.
And muddy, man. And it was cold in this scene. And it was supposed to be hot.
Yeah.
And every time they said cut, all you could see of everybody's cold breath.
Yeah, I remember that.
Long hits.
They had heaters for everybody except the extras.
They were hating him.
They gave them leg warmers. That's when I realized, man, what's it like to be a principal in a movie? Because all my life I've been extra or fucking PA. And I never knew anything, man. Because I'm over there hanging out with the extras, bro. You know, everybody's – I can't find Nick Torturo. He's locked up in his two-man – his five-man trailer. I got my own trailer the first day. Then the second time, I was sharing it with Paul Rodriguez. And the third time, I didn't have no more trailer. They gave it to the little midget. You didn't have a trailer.
No, we didn't have a trailer. They had us in one of the sets, and they're one of the little. They're supposed to be like a little house. They just had a crafting right there and a bunch of chairs, and that was it.
Don't fall asleep.
I think the last day that we're there, we got to use Nick's trailer.
It was big, huh?
Yeah, it was huge, man.
That shit had a bed.
Yeah, it had a big old bed in there.
Yeah, that was my first actual movie. I know, actually, that was actually my first ever movie, working in a movie.
Yeah.
And that was my
shit
first.
Was funny, man. You guys are hilarious, man.
Actually, that was my first ever, actually communicating with somebody in a movie. Because normally, I was like, we had lines together, right?
Yeah. We did a cool little scene and shit.
He was one of our thugs in the movie. Me and Paul Rodriguez. We're the Charco brothers. And we had bad teeth, bro. Yeah, man. We run the town. And we have our lackeys. He was one of them. And we run the town. And when Nick Torturo gets there, he's trying to get back to America. But we're giving him odd jobs, kind of like in Born East LA. We made him a mariachi. We made him do all kinds of crazy stuff. And then the end, we had a big fight scene.
Yeah, I remember that.
And they cut my fight scene out, bro. Dang. I had it coordinated good, bro. Next tutorial, I told him, kick me in the balls, bro. But he goes, but don't kick me in the balls. Kick me in the side of my leg. So that fool kicked me in the side of my leg two times. And I went, oh, so we're looking good, bro. Felipe Esparza, bro. First time being a stunt double. I didn't even have a stand-in at this movie. Yeah, man. And it was a good movie, man. It was a lot. We shot that shit guerrilla style, bro.
Big time.
Was that your first movie, too? Or you were bringing movies?
I did some other stuff.
You did videos, right? Because you had, not to get through the interview, but you had met Mike Judge, right?
Yeah.
How did that happen? Tell us, bro.
Mike
Judge is the guy from King of the Hill.
King of the Hill, Beavis and Butthead, you know? So it was like, man, I was blessed enough to get pulled in by him and shit. You know, they were casting for a movie that he was doing in 2004. At the time, it didn't have a title. It was called they called it Idiocracy, you know? But it was just called Mike Judge Films. And then they were casting. They were looking for a certain type. They saw my face on a website called brownpride.com. Which is a music website for Latinos, you know, from all over the world.
Juice One.
Yeah. <Right. laughs> So they found my mug right there, you know, and then the casting company said, you know, we want to get a hold of this guy. We want him to come in for a reading for a Mike Judge film. So they set it up, and I went in there. Mike saw the video. I did the video first, and then a week later, I got a call by the casting. They go, hey, Mike saw your audition video, and he was rolling, man. He was laughing. He loved it. He wants to meet you, so he's coming in next week, you know, and let's set up another reading with him now. So then I set up a meet. We set up the reading, and after that, you know, got cast, and then King did a voiceover on King of the Hill.
Yes, what episode? Yeah,
it was it's called Enrique Sizable Differences with Danny Trejo.
That one, Danny Trejo.
Oh, yeah.
His wife leaves him,
yeah, right? Yeah.
He's living with Hank.
With Hank, yeah.
And you play like his cousin or something.
I play his brother-in-law.
His brother-in-law.
His wife's brother.
Yeah. And you should have talked him into coming back, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the whole time he was Danny Trejo's character, Enrique, he's bummed out because his wife left him. So Hank is like telling him, well, Enrique, He's trying to like show his feelings to Hank, but Hank's not into that, bro. He's not into. She can't even say "I love you" to his son. So here's Danny Trejo, Enrique saying, "My wife left me, well, Enrique, I guess you're gonna stay over for dinner, aren't you?" That's cool, bro.
Hank's not one for feelings.
That's an honor to have you here, bro. That's my favorite, one of my favorite fucking cartoons, bro.
Thank you, man. Yeah.
And one thing about Mike Judge, he don't mess around, bro. when Mike Judge does the cartoon, he keeps it real, man. Like when he has the guy next door to his house, the Asian guy. Somebody help me out with the name. Khan. and he has Enrique, one of his friends, and he has that other redneck guy. It's a funny ass cartoon. One of my favorite episodes is that one right there with Danny Trejo. And there's another one, man. I can't even think about it, man. What was it like to work on King of the Hill?
I mean, it was cool, man. You know, and it was a trip because it was just a quick thing. We went in there, we knocked it out. You know, they just told me, you know, I had never done anything like that, so they told me, you know, just do these lines right here, and you're gonna do them five different ways, and we'll just go from there. So I was out of there like in 20-30 minutes, you know. And
damn,
yeah, these guys were quick, man.
What was your line?
Oh, man, I don't even remember. I remember one was it's been so long, I totally forgot, man.
I know, man.
I haven't seen that show in a minute, man.
I'm going to watch it tonight. Yeah. I'm going to tell.
You know, I'm going to go look for it now.
I'm going to tell my son, look it, we had this guy on the show.
Really?
Yeah, man. My judge always used to, like, a lot of nationalities, man. Like, he keeps it real from Texas.
Yeah.
So that's why I really like that show. Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
Oh, one of my favorite episodes about King of the Hill and then, you know, Mike Judge keeping it real is when Khan's daughter, she's at the house, and they left her there because they were going to go out of town, and Connie has her period, bro.
I remember that.
And with Hank, right? And Hank is the last guy you want to have anything like that happen. And he ends up taking her to get her tampons and all that, and everybody's freaking out. Fucking great episode, man.
I remember that shit.
So you grew up in, what part of Boyle Heights are you from?
Well, I grew up on both sides, on City of East LA and Boyle Heights. But I was born out of USC Medical Center, which was back then known as General Hospital.
General Hospital, bro.
You know what I'm saying? But a lot of my cousins lived on Boyle Heights, you know? So I've always stood there in Boyle Heights. And then my mom was back and forth, you know, jumping from city to city. So we were just in the whole area the whole time. But we never left the area, you know? I'm still in the area. But I'm over a little bit closer to Montebello now, you know?
You're over there by Evergreen.
Well, a little bit more past that way.
So you grew up in the 80s there or 90s?
I want to say late 70s, 80s.
80s?
But the 80s was like really when we were doing our thing, our stomping grounds, you know?
I know,
like,
me too, really, man. After 87, shit changed in the hood.
Because
yep. there was a time, right?
Big time.
So we were talking about it with another guest that we had on Paul Hunt. He wrote a book that you can find on our webpage about the neighborhood, because I grew up in Pico Aliso.
Okay.
And he writes about how in the beginning, you know, like when we were kids, you know, before crack showed up, you know, we would look at people who did drugs as losers, bro. Like, I'm never going to do PCP. You know, I'm never going to do heroin. But later on, crack came in and... No, but we stopped breakdancing.
Take your breath away.
Were you into that pop blocky and all that?
Yeah, man, yeah. You know, that was the era with the cardboards and everything, man. Every corner there was something going on, man. That was, you know, those are the good old days, man. It's not the same anymore.
Yeah, man. What street at your house was that, Lisa?
In Hollywood?
Yeah. Meridian. Remember Meridian breakdancers?
No,
they're from El Sereno, bro. Just thought I'd give them a little shout out.
El Sereno, yeah.
El Sereno, bro.
Yeah, big shout out to her. I got a lot of people out there in Sereno.
Me too, bro. I went to El Sereno during high school.
Nice.
I went to, We Are the People. Or Respect the People.
Respect the People.
That was the first time I ever saw people my age smoking weed.
Yeah.
In El Sereno Junior High School, bro. I used to see this cholo, bro, this dude, bro. There was two crazy motherfuckers in that school, bro. One was a crazy-ass cholo, and the other one was a crazy-ass güero white boy who looks like he was a white boy, probably was a Mexican. But that cholo dude, he wasn't even big, bro. But he was already walking like he was a shot caller. They call that fool veneno.
Damn.
They call that fool poison. He must be 49 years old right now, bro. And that fool used to walk, bro, like... styling and profiling, bro. Like he was doing Pendleton commercials.
Representing.
Yeah, but back in those days, that's how all the cholos were like really like slicked up, man.
They were slick. I mean, how can you iron your pants, you know, to the point of you could scratch somebody if you fucking kick them and you press your white t-shirt you know, cleaned up your hair, and still show up to school and not do shit.
Start
the folder folded up.
Yeah, and man. Your back Growing up, man. Let me tell you, man. Citric, I wanted my folder to be like that too, bro. I had too much homework in it. Fools would just care, man. The gangsters in our school would fold up their folder, their peachy folders.
I was say the peachy folders.
Their peachy folders in four squares, and then put it in their back pocket and never take it out.
Yeah.
And in the back, inside that peachy folder was one paper.
Yeah.
The registration for the school that day, and you'll never see them again.
Yeah. Or the lunch tickets.
The lunch tickets. It's funny, man, how you will see kids that would show up to the first day of school, and then you will never see them again. Then 2 months later, they're barely getting their books.
Yeah.
And we're already almost done.
I don't know if it was them or just the school system that was all fucked up, man.
I think it was the school system, bro. Because they didn't care of as much as they need people to be there to get money. They were not too good at finding where the kids were.
Everybody getting lost.
People ditching. I never really ditched school. Did you ever ditch school?
All the time.
It's the only time I ditched school, man. I ditched school because I had to take my tuberculosis test, right? I was afraid of needles. So when I came back with my results, I was infected with tuberculosis or had a patch. So they had to give me medicine. So I decided not to go to school after that. So I was supposed to be off for 2 days, but I never told my mom. So I still went to school, but didn't go to school. And I hung around with other people who didn't go to school, like some crazy ass people, man. They were all stoners. I was hanging out with stoners, trece.
Damn.
It was old school, man. Stoners, trece. Were a bunch of cool kids who had long hair, man. And they were called Stoners 13.
They're still around.
And most fools, everybody had a crew. Pico Stoners, Boyle Heights, the Hill, West Side Boys.
Boyle Heights Stoners.
Boyle Heights Stoners, BHS. And this is before we were all gangbangers. Back then, the only way you knew who we were was by the color of our jersey, motherfuckers.
Or the football football crews. Remember, everybody had
football.
Like,
that's a football crew.
Yeah, everybody had their football crews.
East LA. East LA from Aliso Village, their colors were the Houston Oilers. And I know Stoners Treses, they were the New Orleans Saints colors. They had black jersey with gold letters. And then the West Side Boys, they wore the dark blue with the gold colors like the Berkeley Bears, Cal State Bears.
Yeah.
And that's how I know, bro. Damn. Because, see, I used to be a big pussy, bro. When I saw those jerseys, I ran. No. And also, I'm going to throw way back. Atlanta Hawks. If you saw an Atlanta Hawks jersey, that was Headhunters. What? And I forgot Rockwood colors.
Yeah.
See, I know all the football crews, bro.
Man.
What football crew you were in? Stompers?
We were the crew called the California Rockers.
Yeah?
And then we used to hang out with a bunch of other cats called the Junior Boys.
Junior Boys?
Townsend Street Boys.
You know? I know Townsend Street Boys.
Yeah, so we used to always play against them, you know, and always we all lived in the same area, so, you know, we're always partying and just fucking around and shit, man, ditching and whatnot.
It was just back then, man. It's funny that our generation in our high school era, it was more like a fucking frat house, bro. We partied like college kids.
Yeah.
And we were just teenagers. I mean, I would pound 40 ounces, bro. And then I'm go back home all dizzy. Trying to make out with my mom. Get up like that, mama. ¿Quieres bailar, señora, o qué?
Same here, used to get all fucked up. My mom get on my...
I remember, man, I did school and, fuck, man. I was running and I slid in the mud. So all my pants were all muddy and I couldn't prove... My mom would know something happened that how the fuck you fall on mud coming out of school when there's no rain. So I went to So I went to full. I went to the laundromat right there on First Street on Boyle Heights, right next to that restaurant La Serenata, and I put my fucking pants in somebody's fucking clothes, bro. And I washed my pants, and then I waited for them to dry in my underwear.
Gotta get that next dance.
I just stood there waiting, man. I was afraid of getting whipped, man. I used to get. I was like the Mexican Cuta Kente, bro. I was Chunta Chente.
You're like, I'm getting whipped. Fuck that.
It's funny, like, when I used to get whipped so much, I swear to God, man, I thought it was normal, man. Do you think it was normal, bro, to get whipped that much?
Well, yeah, you know, especially when you fucked up. It was just a normal thing. That was it.
Did your parents whip with a belt?
Yeah, you're going to get with a belt or a fucking chancla or whatever was in the was, that was close by.
Did your like parents, like my parents, like if your uncle wanted to whip you, it was okay?
Yeah.
My parents were like that too, man. My fucking, me and my brother, we broke my uncle's boxes. That fool fucked us all up, bro. I mean, he beat the shit out of us. Damn. And then he didn't even give a fuck, man. The next day, he told my mom, asked him, how were they? And he was telling my mom that he beat our asses by telling her that, well, I'll tell you one thing. They slept really warm last night. Durmieron bien calientitos los cabrones. She's yeah, man, but that's
you guys, my, you guys got beat down on it.
Yeah, we got beat down, bro.
Damn.
It's funny, man, and we still like that motherfucker though. But my dad we hate. But see, now when I think about it, fuck him too. But see, I never thought about that, man. Fuck that fool. Crooked ass motherfucker. Fuck you and your boxes.
Now
our lady's dead and shit.
He's dead, boy?
Yeah.
Fuck, rest in peace.
Hey, dead.
He's in a big box now.
He's in a big box. I'll take them.
Like cremated that fool.
Now we were the one, we must have hurt his feelings or something, man, because he was our best uncle. He was like, he to like, he would pick us up and take us to the park and then hit balls to us, and then he'll tell us, and then he took us to Griffith Park, bro, to get on those fucking horses.
That's cool.
Around to gallop, and he took us on the on the train, and he told us, if you guys ever get a baseball trophy or any kind of trophy, I'll give you $10.
Dang.
So fuck that, bro. I joined baseball immediately.
And, Fernando.
And I went to go play baseball. And even my brother Fernando, bro, he never played baseball. He won a fucking watermelon eating contest.
That's what's up.
We were at a fucking a big ass church picnic at Elysian Park. And then my brother got a watermelon. He fucking ate that motherfucker fast, bro. bro. He's gay now, bro. And he won a trophy. He was going to get $10 with that shit.
A trophy's a trophy, dog.
And every time we went to my uncle's house, all the trophies were there, dog. All of them. Only ours, though.
Raising champions, eh?
Third place, set 1979.
Oh yeah, man, that's tight.
But he didn't fuck us up, bro. But this was before he took us to he must have felt bad after that because whenever my dad would, because he was living with us afterwards, and every time my dad would get loaded, because my dad would get loaded, dog. But my uncle would get pissed. Like, my mom couldn't say nothing because what are you gonna tell your, what is your mom gonna tell your fucking dad?
Yeah, exactly.
Yo, Paolo, vile cabrona. Smack.
Damn.
Smack. Because my dad lives in a generation where it's okay to hit a woman. You know what I mean? For real, that's his generation.
That was the old school generation.
Old school generation.
Now just don't get caught.
¿Por qué le pegaste? Porque me echó la madre la pinche cabrona. Like that, man. Like, my, put it this way, man. My mom couldn't shave her legs.
Woo!
She had hairy ass legs, bro. I thought she was a tarantula. And she never wore makeup, bro. She never brushed her teeth, nah. So her only cosmetic was putting on lipstick and brushing her teeth. That's it. So she would walk around like Snow White. But we meanwhile, my dad is fucking wearing cologne, Brut, Old Spice,
for the ladies.
Jockey Club, hair all slicked up, on Sunday looking like he's going to the Palenque. But yeah, man. So that uncle, man, his name is Teodoro, Teddy.
Teddy!
We call him Teodoro. That fool, man, picked one time, man. I never forget it, man. I wanted to go to watch wrestling so bad, to watch Mil Máscaras was fighting this other fool. And Roddy Piper was fighting some other fool before Mil Máscaras. But the main event was Mil Máscaras versus somebody. It's probably the Greg the Hammer Valentine, but I don't remember who the name, but it looks just like him in my face right now, in my head. And I wanted to go, right? I wanted to go so bad. But you know, you want to ask your dad. It's like, you know your father's not going to say. You know your father's going to say
no. You already know he's going to say no.
No matter what. Like, this is how bad I knew my dad was going to say no for everything. That I will write no on a napkin and then hold it to my, tell my brother, hold it. That's my dad's answer when I come back. And I will go ask my dad, and I come back. I'll come back all sad. What did he say? Open that paper. And then on the paper it said, fuck no.
Fuck no.
Why you asking me?
The only time that my dad didn't change the channel to fucking Spanish was when we were like during Saturday morning when we were watching wrestling and Bill Cosby cartoons. And
like to laugh, dog.
If I gotta laugh, dog. I was watching King of the Hill last night, and fucking Peggy, she just won something, but she just proved everybody right, and she came into the room going, hey. It's all right, man. So, man, I was all sad, eh? I was bummed out. And then my tio Teodoro showed up, bro. Actually, my grandma called me. I don't know if I said this story already, but fuck, I'll say it again. My grandma said, ponte listo porque vamos a ir a las luchas libres. Get ready because we're going to go to fucking wrestling. Then my uncle picked me up, dog.
Tight.
And fucking, my dad didn't even ask me where I'm going, bro. I didn't even tell them bye. As soon as I saw him on the door, we left. And I just closed the door, dog.
I've been sent for.
You should have seen me, bro. They were taking forever to get to it, bro.
How old were you, fool?
I was fucking in third grade.
That's awesome, though.
I don't know what, 11? Nine or 10.
There's days when you're ready to, you know?
Yeah, because I know that I was in third grade because I remember later on I was telling my teacher the whole thing that I didn't leave school till 3:30, bro. We got up at 2. I had my own podcast, me and Mrs. Reynolds. I love her. I love that lady, man.
Oh, shit.
I love her, man. She looked like Sue from Veep.
Hell yeah.
But with glasses and more of the 1960s haircut. But man, Miss Reynolds, man, if you're out there, man, if you have a grandmother or great grandmother that taught elementary school in Boyle Heights at Utah Elementary, your mom was a good lady, man. She would just tell me, shoot for the stars.
That's what's up, fool.
That's it.
She had a poster that I never got on her desk. On her desk. She had a poster on her desk that said, how can you soar with ego when you hang around with pure turkey?
The basic fundamentals, dog.
I didn't get it, dog.
Until now.
I didn't get it, bro. But that was the whole point of her. It's to not to get that, to later on get it, and to realize what the fuck she was telling you.
Yeah, no, anyway, don't
so my grandmother took me, man. I was happy, bro. I had chills, bro. I was biting myself. I was biting them, bro, like a rabbit. When we get there, man, it's fucking, I see me and Máscaras, I get there, bro, and Roddy Piper had just beaten the fuck out of some paisa, fool. Like, there was some paisa, bro, who had a sign of fucking Roddy Piper dressed with curly hair and lipstick and dress shoes, bro. And he was holding a tete. Vale pura verga, pinche Roddy. Vale pura verga, pinche Roddy, puto desgraciado, cabrón. Me la meja, pinche güero gringo, puto. Like that in Spanish, bro.
Going on. Fool.
I saw Roddy Piper just grab that fool by the throat and throw him to his friends, bro.
Are you serious, dog?
Fuck.
It's for real, dog.
This shit's real. So I thought it was real.
You know, WWF.
And then when fucking Roddy, when that fight's over, you know, whatever, the guy that's fighting Mil Máscaras is passing by us, this, I guess, Greg the Hammer Valentine, fool, my grandmother slaps this fool in the back.
Shut the fuck up, dog.
Because my grandmother loves wrestling, bro. She likes freaks. She's into that shit. She likes fucking fortune tellers, bro. But not because she believes it. She doesn't know what the fuck they're saying. She me what lies.
It's entertainment.
Hell yeah, so, dude.
As soon as that fool passes by, all you hear is this. And my little grandmother slaps him, bro. And then she goes, tiene pura grasa. Because he has an oily back.
They oil those fools up, dog.
So then he just turns around. And he just points at my grandma like, you, like that, right? And then he goes, then my grandmother just was like, get away. Like that, get away.
That was gangster, dog.
Yeah, man. So, man.
She was ready to bomb him.
So then, Roddy, fool, me and my friend fighting that guy. Roddy Piper jumps in, beast, and is fucking beating the shit out of me and Máscara was the other wrestler. Fucking Roddy Piper gets the little bell, you know, the ding, 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 ding. He gets the little metal helmet, the little metal hammer from the bell, and he fucking rushes Mil Máscaras, and he fucking cuts him in the forehead. He knocks down that little referee, and then half of Mil Máscaras' face is fucking ripped. There's blood coming out of his face. And he says, mira lo que me hacen aquí. Lo que me hacen. Pero sigo campeón. He won the fight because me and Máscara had a contract that he cannot lose no fight.
Man.
That's what was in his contract. He cannot lose to no white motherfucker. He goes, they could beat my ass. They could put me in a wheelchair. But I cannot walk out of that ring as a loser. Because I am in the fucking Wrestling Hall of Fame in fucking Japan, motherfuckers. So, yeah, man. That was my memory.
Hell yeah. R.I.P. Roddy Piper.
So when my uncle was living with us, that uncle, he used to get into arguments with my father because my father would always get loaded. And my dad would tell him, Yahweh. Look at you, cabrón. You have fucking 5 kids right here. You're fucking loaded. You couldn't even take, you go, well, instead of getting them loaded, why don't you take these motherfuckers to the zoo?
Damn.
Take them to the park. Because it's Trigon, you know, give them adventure. You know, they see the same shit every day. And my grandmother, too. Every time my dad would show up, he'll ask, my grandmother would ask me in front of my dad, has your father taken you guys to Disneyland yet?
Damn.
And he would say, and then we look at my dad like, no, right? No? Is that the right answer? No? Then my grandmother would say, you've been in this country 11 years already. He goes, no te cuesta nada. It don't cost you nothing. That fool just don't want to hang out with 5 kids, bro. I don't want to hang out with 5 kids. Shit's hard hanging out with one.
Even if they're your own.
For reals, man. They start asking for shit, dog.
God damn, dog.
And I think they start asking for stuff. You know, even if you could afford it, they know you could afford it. They keep asking. Like we would go to places with my wife, and then like we would go to places with Ike. You gotta hold them by the hand, bro. Most of the kids think they're there to shop for them. I never thought that when I was little. Because I know nothing's there for me.
Damn.
Every time I try to ask for something, no. Or I get slapped in the hand.
I used to always tell my son, hey, what do you think money grows on trees? And he goes, yeah, it's made out of paper, right? So it goes,
there you
got
go,
me there,
dog.
Got me there.
Oh, you kiss smart, bro.
Shit, dude.
Oh, man.
You were like, well, what's something? I know every would ask everybody here. starting with you. Everybody had that one toy that they wanted so bad that you would even draw it sometimes. Pretend you're playing with it on a paper or just trying to tell your mom, Atari. You know, trying to give your mom. Is there something you wanted as a kid and you didn't get?
Oh, man. I want to say, you know, but I mean, eventually I got it, but it took a while to get it. But do you remember the old Evel Knievel bicycles you put up on the little ramp and you wind it up and then the fucking dude, just take off?
I'm getting the goosebumps right now, bro.
It was that. It took a while, but I got it.
That was one of the best toys ever. I had that motherfucking toy. That's a bad. Oh, the zipper one.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
The zipper, and then the motherfucker would just take off and shit. Jump. Yeah.
That's like a wrist racer. Yeah, that it's a badass toy, people. It's a Evel Knievel. You put the little plastic strip in the back, and you pull it, and you let go, and Evel Knievel takes off.
Set up little ramps and shit, and the motherfucker would just
Your jump parents over. Bought it, or you got it?
No, my parents bought it, but it took a while.
Did you ever drop hints?
A lot of lobbying.
All the time. Every time it would come out on TV, I point at the TV or raise the volume.
The shit's on sale, Ma.
Oh, my God. And I bet you knew who made it. Kenner?
Mattel.
Or Mattel, you know?
We were little kids. We would sit around watching television, and we were trying to guess who makes it. Who makes that? Matchbox? Who makes that? Coleco?
Coleco, dog.
Yeah, man. Who makes that? Parker Brothers.
Parker Brothers.
I knew
Parker
all Brothers. The toy makers, games. But didn't have the fucking toys. Yeah, man. Who makes that? General Mills. Cheerios.
I love Cheerios.
I still love Cheerios, bro.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, we couldn't eat. We only could eat cereal in the morning. Fuck that shit. Fuck yeah. That.
Now it's nighttime, too.
Hell yeah, bro. I ate cereal last night, bro. Golden Grahams.
Usually my dinner.
My Golden Grahams, bro. You fucking smash those up. It's still like horchata. What was your favorite cereal growing up?
Man.
But they didn't buy.
That they didn't buy? But, man, we had all of them pretty much. Here, so it's like
fucking Wick over here.
So you can only get certain shit on Wick.
I know, right? I don't think Wick was even around with that.
Nah, bro, it was on Pick.
Oh, with my
let me guess what kind of cereal you are, man. In my head, I don't know why I'm picturing Gooberry.
You know what?
The Blueberry Ghost.
Yeah, that one and the Count Chocula.
That's what I was thinking in my head. Frankenberry. This one like a Frankenberry, Count Chocula, Blueberry guy.
I ain't gonna lie, those are all my favorites.
General Mills. Yeah. Or, no, they're made by Post.
Who likes brownies, eh?
You know why? Because those cereals, my mom never bought them. Because they're sweet as fuck.
Yeah. I was always bouncing around because all that. Sugar rush.
Yeah, man. Blueberry is a fucking sweet-ass cereal, man.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, man. I just picture myself eating.
Now I can't. Yeah, now I can't fuck with it. It's too sweet.
Hell no, bro. You know what? Every once in a while, bro, I fuck around and give me some sugar smacks.
Oh, yeah.
Puffed sugar.
Yup. And then, or the off-brand, the Golden Crisp, or is it the same one?
Yes, bro. My wife said they changed it. Remember?
They changed it up.
Back in the days, he was just called Sugar Bear.
Yeah, I remember.
But now everybody's they find out little kids are diabetic, losing foots, getting fat. <man. laughs> They're going to be politically correct, bro. He's Golden Bear.
He got a leg to stand on.
Oh, there was another one that they changed the name.
It was the Honey Smacks.
Honey Smacks.
That was the same one? Or the, no,
yeah. Sugar Smacks.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
It's Honey Smacks now.
Yeah, Sugar Bear became Golden Bear.
Yeah, Golden.
And Sugar Smack became Honey Smacks.
And they all taste the same.
They all taste the same. But one is made by a frog.
You can dig them.
His name was Dig'em.
Yeah, Dig'em, there you go.
He's called Jerry that dog.
It's funny how you grew up and you realize, man, fucking Fruit Loops taste exactly like Trix.
Yup.
You know, I don't think in other countries they love cereal as much as America, huh?
Yeah,
I love fucking cereal, man.
Oh, dude, it's tasty, dude.
Yeah. My mom never bought good cereal, bro. Only one time we got a choice to pick our own cereal, and I fucked up and got the wrong one.
You got needed glasses, eh?
Dude, my brother got sugar corn pops, and my other brother got some other cereal. I think it was called Lucky Charms. And you're going to believe what I got, bro.
Tell me, dog.
Cornflakes.
You're a simple man.
not the Frosted Flakes. Oh. No, the regular cornflakes.
Just regular. A big box.
Even back then, you were thinking about your healthy.
I was a colorful rooster, bro. I don't know why. I kept seeing it on TV a lot. Because they advertise a lot. I never had it.
Like, I don't want to sound like a weirdo. That's my favorite cigarette.
And I tasted it. I should feel like salt.
We got to put some fruit in there or something.
Fucking strawberry jam, dog.
Yeah. Like my dad.
Dude.
My dad put strawberry jam.
Love that shit.
Yeah, it works.
Dog.
It works.
I never noticed, man, that when you try to make your own raisin brand, you know, with cornflakes, and make your own raisins, the fucking raisins go to the bottom.
Yeah. I was just thinking about
that. Because they stick them with the sugar, dog. That's why they stick to the fucking.
I just had some the other day like that. I said, fuck it, I'm going to throw some raisins in this bowl.
All natural.
It's
shit.
Not the same.
It's all at the bottom and shit, like a big old block of fucking raisins all set together.
A spoonful. Yeah.
I'm like, damn.
You had a raisin burger.
Pretty much.
What toy you wanted, bro?
What, they always had cereal. I was like, fuck cereal. I want some eggs, dog. I'm baking this shit, fucking little kid food, eh?
But what toy as a kid you wanted?
I wanted a Rambo knife. I eventually got it. They're like, if you want that knife, just fucking mow that field.
Yeah, Rambo 95?
Huh?
Rambo knife?
Yeah, Rambo knife.
The real one?
The real one.
Your mom gave it?
Dang.
Yeah, well, they fucking took it away after I stabbed my cousin. I was getting out of line, dog.
Hey, fool, let me try to see if it works.
He drew first blood.
Hey, dog. Had a little fishing hook in there. Matches,
yeah.
Fool.
Hell yeah, hell yeah.
Fool, I was in the fucking, I was in the.
Was that the compass?
Yes, on the top, fool.
Toothpicks inside?
Toothpicks, fool? All that shit.
Came with the whole kit?
Hell yeah,
the
dog.
Fucking fake ass key, the fake key lock?
Yeah, ready to start a fucking forest fire, dog.
Fuck yeah, bro.
So I was in the river body fishing, dog. I swear to God, dog.
That's badass. Did your knife have the little rigid crib to fucking cut
to pop
water?
Bottles, dog?
Oh. Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
Get your ass over here.
Did you take that shit to school?
Hell yeah, I took that motherfucker to school, dog. Shit.
Well, I remember there was this Japanese guy that never spoke to nobody but me. And he was a big, he was like a fat fool, right?
A liaison.
And then he would just come in by himself. And I never fuck with him, but everybody used to fuck with him, but bag on him, right? This other fool named Lalo used to always bag on him. Well, some my Miyagi right here, right? Exactly like that. Miyagi. He used to fuck with us. Instead of saying Mr. Miyagi, he'll say Miyagi right here, bro. Fucking Shogun motherfucker right here.
Shogun, dog.
Like that, dog.
Let him have
it. And then let him have it. And then I was friends with him and another fool that he told me that fool used to work at some fucking market. He said he could give me a job there after school, but he never did. This Japanese fool the next day shows up with a fucking bow and arrow, bro. A bow and arrow and metal arrows to kill that fool.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
What happened, fool?
Well, I never saw that Japanese guy again.
Terrible.
I never saw him again.
Damn, fool. You can't fuck with people like that, dog. People like that are crazy, fool.
Yeah, man. The toy I always wanted, man, was Atari 2600, and I never got it. And I never got it.
Damn.
I didn't get it. I didn't thought. I was angry with life after that. That I hated video games, bro. I hated video games. I hated people who played video games. So I got older, you know. I turned 30, and I got Madden.
Yeah, same here.
And I got a PSP. I got a PS1, bro. From watching Stephen Fry, the comic, playing Madden all the time. And they fucked this. But I only stuck with football. I started off with just video games, man. So now I'm back to liking people who like video games.
You fuck with baseball, though, right?
Yeah, I fuck with baseball. But that's all it, man. So what's up, fool, man? How did you, because you are a rapper, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You were Brown Pride?
Well, we used to have a group called Brown Town Looters back in the days. You know? Started off as Brown Town, then went to Looters, and then eventually turned into Pueblo Cafe, where we just started doing all Spanish, you know?
Damn.
Yeah, so...
Were you part of that big the Latin rap explosion of L.A. during the late 90s when they had that big old rap concert one time in Hollywood with that guy Juice.
Oh, with Juice One?
You know Juice One. Everybody knows Juice One, bro.
Juice
Magdaleno. What's up, fool?
Yeah, that's the homie, man. Probably, we go way back, man.
Him and I go way back, man. Like, even, like, we go way back when, I think, when he was living in Arizona.
Damn.
When he used to work or hang out with Shell Happy.
All right. So, you guys are going way back.
And how far we going back?
Yeah.
Lighter Shit of Brown days.
Yeah, well, we were, for a while, Lighter Shit of Brown's opening act back in, like, in 91.
They're from Riverside, though.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, so, you know, I haven't talked to the guys in a minute, but, you know, like, once in a while, I'll run into, like, Robert ODM, and we'll chop it up real quick. But, yeah, man, this is, we go back with those guys. Then we're doing all the stuff with Cypress Hill during the Cypress Hill era.
Psycho Realm,
the homies from Psycho Realm, you know. I was like, man, you know, we're doing a lot of shit, man, with Delinquent Habits.
Hell yeah, dog.
Funk Dubias.
Oh, you know, dude, what I'm saying? That's
so,
what's
yeah,
up,
dog. Yeah, we're doing a lot of shows with them cats, man, during those early Aquid. Days.
Aquid.
Aquid, man.
You know, Aquid.
Man, I got a lot of stories with those homies because those guys, I kind of like brought them into the business and shit.
Yeah, man. Cause you know when we did that Maya movie, we were trying to get that Aquid song on our movie.
Oh, dope.
The movie I did. Yeah. I'm not liking them, but we couldn't get a hold of them. And then the guy that we were with, he got too cheap.
Damn.
The producer.
Yeah.
But I told him, if you would have put that song, you know, because it was a rap song mixed with Norteño music.
Yeah. No, they were.
I love those guys.
They were mixing a lot of shit up. You know, trying to different shit with banda.
Yes.
You know, and then
nobody was doing that.
Nobody was doing it. Yeah. And then a couple of songs they tried with accordion. You know, it's tipo Norteño style. You know, so you know, and to this day, there's a lot of groups still doing. You know, like mixing up a little of that stuff. And some cats are nailing it. Some cats, you know, need a little work, but. But, you know, that's the way it is, man. You just got to stay at it. You stay on it, and that's it.
Yeah, because when I heard the song, I say, man, I never heard this song, but I'm going to like it's a song. And I would always play it. I used that song, like, 5 years ago. I used it to go up on stage for a while.
Yeah. That's dope.
Or something.
That was your intro.
That was my intro, bro.
Yeah, no, they have a lot of material that they didn't put out that I think they should have put out, you know, but, I mean... For one reason or another, you know, just never hit the daylight. But man, they got a lot of songs, man, that are still dope, man. That they need to get put out.
5150, tell us about that.
5150 is a brand started in Oxnard by my homeboy Robert, and it started off as a record company. A recording studio.
Robert then, rapper?
No. He just does engineering. You know, he had a little studio, and then they were doing the clothing to promote the studio 5150 Recordings. And then people started getting more interested in the clothing, so they just started doing more clothing, and it just turned into a brand. And then eventually, you know, we got linked up with George, you know, and then George stepped in too, you know, and so George is part of it, you know, so he's part, you know, like kind of partnered up with them and trying to push the brand, you know, so it all, you know, so that's the reason why we're able to wear it on the show too, you know.
George is cool, man. You know, when I first started out, when I was a comedian, I used to always hear this shit about, I mean, you heard it too, Rodrigo.
What, that he's a dick and he kicks dick, people out of the show?
All these older comics, oh, he's not cool, he don't help out La Raza. But I never saw none of that.
Hell no.
What was his intro for me on Que Locos? I didn't even met the guy.
I don't like many comedians, but I love this comedian. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Felipe the Hat Esparza. But dude, I think that fool knows what's up with motherfuckers. Yeah. You know what I mean? He's been through so much bullshit, they can look past, all right, fuck this cheesy motherfucker. Yeah. Fuck this fool doing my joke from 1989. Exactly, yeah. Seriously, all right, I'm down with this motherfucker. He has flavor. He's solid.
Yeah. That's the thing with George. He could smell the bullshit a mile away.
Hell yeah,
you know,
dog.
So he knows when you're coming real with the shit, you know, and if you're about your shit, basically.
Yeah, man. Speaking of coming real, bro, I'm going to come real with a real pitch idea for me to be on the show. I thought about it last night, bro. How about... Nah. Let's get back to you. You're the more important person. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to Ernie G the show.
Look at him, dog.
Hey, bro! I have ideas, bro!
In a big butt, bro!
Bro! Come speak with me, bro! How did you get how did you get involved with the show? By the way, watch Citric and Maranzio Vans on Maranzio Vans. I said the wrong name.
Maranzio.
Yeah, Maranzio.
Maranzio with George Lopez on TV Land on George Lopez Show. It's like Curb Your Enthusiasm, Chicano style.
Yeah.
Lopez, right?
Yeah. Lopez show.
Yeah, Lopez. Yeah.
How did you get involved? You auditioned?
No, actually, because co-writers, the writers also for Silicon Valley, but the co-creators of Silicon Valley along with Mike Judge.
Nice.
I worked with those guys, you know, and of course with Mike and that whole camp, so... For the longest, you know, like they've been putting me in stuff here and there, you know, projects, and they kept telling me, "We got some stuff we're working on." So they kept telling me. Finally, once everything was ready to go for a pilot, they sent me the script. They go, "Hey, man, we got this series that we're trying to put together," you know. And they sent it to my agent, and you know, and then when they sent it to me and I saw it, I was like, "Well, wow, it's with George Lopez." I was like, "Man, this is dope." So, you know, right, it's like, right, fucking, let's do it, man. You know, I was fucking excited, man. I was like, let's do it.
Yeah, man. What's it like to be on TV every week?
Oh, man. you know what? It's a little different, man. You know, it's a little different now than from what I'm used to, you know. But, you know, it's a good feeling. But, you know, it's just weird sometimes, man. It's like surreal, you know, type of shit, you know.
People act so nice.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
Do people walk up to you and go, "Hey, I know you"?
Yeah. Yeah, man. You know, and it's, you know, there've been times where I'll be in certain places, you know, and trying to get out, you know, we're trying to get, you know, bounce or whatever, you know, and then people want to take pictures, so, you know, take our time, you know. It's all like I'm getting used to it, you know, but I'm getting the hang of it, you know. And it's like, you know, and I tell everybody, "Yeah, let's take a picture, man. I'm down with it, man. Like, I ain't trying to say no to nobody, you know."
That's funny, man. That face you make on photos is hilarious. Because the face you make is exactly like the smile, not cry later face. You like the smile. Why do it? And you have clothing like that.
Smiling and crying at the same time.
Hell yeah, man. So you have clothing with that face too, right?
Yeah, I've done some stuff. Nothing official. Just to, you know, just to promote, you know, just to throw it out there and give it to people. But, we're working on some stuff with the 5150 brand. We're gonna be doing a Cynical Face edition, you know. So, you know, so yeah, be looking out for that, you know.
So you got work. You got shoot every day, huh?
For the
Lopez.
Yeah, we shoot. Well, right now we're done. We're already done, but we're doing Monday through Friday, Monday through Friday, and then sometimes depending what it was, you know, it was like might do some extra shots on a Saturday or on a Sunday, but for the it was rare, but every day Monday through Friday. You know?
So it's funny, man. When I ran into him at the Laugh Factory, I was going there to do the podcast with
Dom.
With Dom Herrera, and then I came out, and then I said hello to George. You know, very very formal hello. Hey, how you doing, man? It's good. It's good. Then I see this fool, and I give him a more of a "What's up, fool?" A hug over here. I haven't seen him since the deported Joe Lopez I saw recently. It was like, "Hey, how you doing, man? You know, just hanging out. You know, just to the podcast here, you know." Then I see this fool. "What's up?" My eyes opened up bigger and shit. It's like I seen God now.
George is like, "Hey, there he is, man."
All right, yeah. Then George leaves, eh? Goes back to his business.
Yeah, man. No, it was good seeing you there, too, man. I've seen you in a minute.
It's good to see
man.
You working, bro. It's
yeah, gracias, man. Appreciate it.
Good people
you, man.
Working, man.
You've been working for days, huh? Because you did like Harsh Times with Emilio and then, right?
Yeah, we did Harsh Times.
I saw Harsh Times.
Yeah, man. That was a good
Christian
movie.
Christian Bale
man.
And
yeah,
shit.
Yes, I saw that fucking movie, man.
Freddy Rodriguez, you know, Eva Longoria.
You were one of the thugs with Noe, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I play Casper.
Yeah.
Everybody tells me, "Hey, that was a dope movie, man. Too bad you got shot."
It was gritty.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, man. That movie was fucking weird. The way Emilio just got killed out of the blue.
It just catches you by surprise. Just gets shanked up with the
Emilio bottle. Is just sitting there, and I thought he's going to be through the whole movie. He gets killed nasty style by some paisa.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. That's one thing I like about Emilio, man. He goes, "I like dying different styles."
And she's coming home.
And you don't remember me, that character that killed him? It was like the character you playing in The Deported. The long hair, the vaquero style.
I had to do it, bro.
At first, I thought it was Felipe.
So when is season two, bro? So I got to start pitching my ideas.
We're just waiting, man. We're waiting on word, man.
I was thinking, bro, what if George Lopez walks into a comedy club in the show and I'm doing his jokes, bro? And he gets pissed off. And you gotta fucking calm him down, bro. What the fuck, eh? First Mesilla, now this fucker right here. And then I'm saying, and then I'm from the back, fuck, I don't know what your joke, bro. And then I turn into this guy. And then at the end of the season, at the end of the episode, we set out a court, and I gotta fucking be his fucking gardener, bro. And I'm fucking gardening at the end. What happened, Felipe? Why? It was his joke, bro, after all.
So you had the joke's on me. You got a gardening
joke. I think George liked that idea, bro. Somebody does his, the whole episode will be perfect.
I think it will be funny as fuck.
Yeah, bro, because then later on, you're pissed off, but see, you love George in the show. I seen the show, bro. You got his back 100%, bro. You're like fucking, you're like Luca Braca, bro. Luca Brasi, bro.
Yeah.
Luca Brasi, he's sleeping with the fishes. So, you and Morelso Vance kidnapped me, like, hey, Felipe, hey, yo, we got a fucking show. We got a show, a role for you, right? And I show up, and you got to put me in a trunk, bro, and take me to the house. And then you got to make me watch his fucking Alien Nation video. No, man. We need a little drama, bro. You know? No, just I have a lot of ideas, bro. Finally, somebody here to listen to him.
Nah, I think it would work, man.
Because I remember when the fucking somebody said he got called him and seared by the throat.
Yeah, at the Laugh Factory.
Yeah.
That was the second time I saw. Wait, is it time to forgive Carl Mencia, bro?
Dude, with so many motherfuckers stealing, I think so, dog. I mean, in my opinion. That fool ain't the
what
only
would
one.
What George think?
I don't know, man. You know what? Like, I don't think George thinks about it too
much
anymore, man.
Yeah, he don't give a fuck about it. Fucking, dude, come on, dog. Yeah, in the end, he won, fool.
Yeah, exactly.
He's always been the big winner.
You know what I mean? That's it. That's all that matters.
That's the thing about George, man. You know, he just he goes on with his day, man. He does what he does.
I know,
and that's
man.
It, man. You know, you don't really worry about shit too much, man.
We asked him one time, man. What do we ask him one time? We were walking up by him. Saw we just came with, hey, George, how you living?
Solid. Yeah. Straight up, dog.
That's some real shit.
Oh yeah.
I like George, man, because every once in a while, like, you see people, man, like, you know, you see him on those photos with all these celebs, right? Seeing him with Citric, seeing him with Maranzio, Arsenio. But when you really see George by himself at a show, he always has that one homie from San Fernando right next to him.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
You don't see him in the picture, bro, but that motherfucker's right there, bro. Really choke a motherfucker who says Pacoima. Hey!
Richie!
For real, ooh. Even Danny Trejo.
Hell yeah.
Danny Trejo, you see him with all these celebrities. You see him with everybody. You see him with this. But when you really meet him, who he has his homie who was in the same rehab that I was, Live Again, and his assistant living in a separate house away from him.
Hell yeah.
Keeping him OG because, like, he's not lying, bro. My chat does not text.
Well, that's a flip phone, huh?
That fool has a Razor phone.
Dang. Old school.
Old school.
No texting at all.
No texting, bro.
It's from the golden era.
Damn.
Like, he'll go like this. When I met him, Felipe, what's your name? What's your number? And I go like this. And he takes out his fucking razor and he goes, Lalo! Whatever his name is. His assistant shows up. He has four assistants, bro. He has an assistant to the assistant.
Shit.
It's funny, when I met Danny Trejo and we were talking, and then... I talked to Danny Trejo, you know, but I really can't relate to him, you know, because he's like, I think he's like a big star. The homie that lives with him, we're in the same rehab, bro. We're talking about, oh, yeah, bro, I remember that fool. He died, huh? And we're talking about, oh, he OD'd, huh? Then Danny Trejo goes, what the fuck? When fucking weirdos meet, they're talking about, I met you at the university. You went to that college. Fucking Chicanos meet. I was in that rehab. I know that guy who OD'd.
You felt left out of it.
You felt left out of it.
Give him a chete.
Machete.
Oh, man.
You met Danny? Too, dog.
Huh?
You met Danny?
Yeah. Yeah, real, real cool. Real cool head, man. Humble.
You ever met somebody, man, that goes, fuck this motherfucker? And don't say Dennis Miller, because we never met him.
Man, I'm trying to think. You know what I mean? I probably had met a couple of fools, too, man, but...
Give us their name. We have no listeners.
But here's the thing. I don't remember. You know why? Because I just don't... I don't give a fuck, you know, like, I just, you know, like, if motherfuckers give me some, then I just, like, whatever, man, I shine it off and like, go about my day and that's it, man.
Me too. I don't remember anybody who disrespected me back in the days at all either, man. I don't remember.
There's no need, dog.
Just that fucking asshole, Richard Dollar from fucking Sheraton, Victor Dollar. We're going to fix it right now. Just that motherfucker, Victor Dollar from the fucking Sheraton in Ventura.
Dang.
Fuck you, motherfucker. And I did eat half of that oatmeal. If you're gonna read more, you want to know more about Victor Dollar, go to my Yelp and look for my review on the Sheraton at Ventura County. I let that fool have it. Yeah, yeah, man, it's a long ass paragraph that I dictated to my wife. Because if I write, it'll be a long sentence. I don't know where to put commas or semicolons. That's funny, semicolon.
We sent the kite, Victor.
Colon. Semicolon. All right, it's two semicolons. All right. So, so what else, man? What's going on? What's new? When is your next show? Your next appearance somewhere? People could come look at you.
Man, right now we really ain't doing no like appearances. I'm just doing like little meet and greets for the show, you know, here and there.
A lot of work.
Car shows and stuff like that, yeah. You know, I mean, it's all in good fun, though, you know, at the same time, you know, it's work, but, you know, we're trying to have a good time with it, so, I like llevamos.
That's what I think about sometimes, man, like, about all that work that comes behind working on a show that's going to be on for only 30 minutes.
It's crazy.
People think that you just do the show, man, and that's it. No, man, it ain't just a show, man. You got to go wake up in the morning and do, like, press. And radio, you gotta hold a smile everywhere you go. It's a lot of hard work, bro. That's why people with asshole faces are on TV, man. Like, when was the last time you saw an asshole face?
Stephen A. Smith. Hey,
come on, man. I know him personally. We shower together.
I knew that motherfucker.
That's my boy, bro. Skip Bayless, bro. Fucking fuck you, Skip Bayless, man. You know much about sports as your brother knows about Mexican food.
I know, dog.
Fucking Rick Bayless. Fuck you and your fucking shitty tortas, bro. Your fucking overpriced tortas. How can you, come on, Rick Bayless, how can you go to East L.A., steal a torta and then fucking sell it for $10 at the airport?
Oh, man.
Yeah, man. What's your favorite torta? What's your favorite torta place? King Tortas in El Sereno.
You know what? Fuck. Is not the one right there by General Hospital?
Yeah, that's the one.
Is it?
Yeah, that by Lincoln Park. Tortas,
yeah, right there. Yeah, there it is. A little hole in the wall. Is it? Okay. Right,
by Gilmore.
Right on. We used to have one of my homies has a photo studio down the street from there. So we used to go over and hang out, do photo shoots or whatever, and then King Torta right in the corner. Big old tortas. Can't forget the California burrito there, too.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
I haven't had those in a while, though.
I mean, when you're in the studio with your friends and you guys are recording these rap albums or recording these raps, what's the vibe in there, man, with everybody putting in stuff, all these artists putting in words, smoking weed? Is it a good time, man? Are those good times?
The best, man.
Cause I see it on people's Instagram, man. But it don't look that much
smoke
fun.
Smoke in the air and everything.
Smoke in the air.
Yeah. Best times, man.
Time goes fast.
It goes too quick, man.
Oh, man.
It just goes too quick.
Cause I just think about all that stuff, man. Man, that's a lot of. I was in the studio and I did that. What's up, fool? For that Voodoo Glow Skulls songs. Shout out to Voodoo Glow Skulls. They do the song, the What's a Fool song.
That's tight.
And the song originally is titled Fat Randy. But when you get to see them in concert, just yell out, What's a Fool?
Fools do, dog.
Yeah, man, because I always think that I'm lazy, man. My wife has to drag me every morning to get up to do this. And I dread it. You know, I dread it. Doing the podcast and the Enchilada Casserole podcast. You know, it's not that I don't want to, but I don't want to wake up.
It's
hard sometimes, man. Like, you know, you come back from 3 days of touring and driving and
Body's burned out.
Body's burned out, man. You're tired of having the face again. You know, having a face of smiling and looking alert.
It's work, fool.
It's work, bro. Yeah,
like you said about the show, everything, it leads up to the show. Yeah. Oh, you kill it for an hour, but the whole fucking day, the whole week. And
but everything, led up to
fuck,
that.
Fuck, dude.
Yeah. I know, man. People don't talk. Yeah, and then people don't talk about, like, the people that you got to deal with. Like, maybe on the way to the studio, there was an asshole on the way over here, you know, that we see all the time. That we just don't want to come here because we always see him.
Oh, yeah, dude.
But nobody's with an asshole, just saying.
For example.
For example. Yeah, man.
You still fuck with raps and shit? You still fuck with music?
Yeah, you know, me and my boy Vic Damone, you know, we're doing a lot of the music too for the show.
Oh, yeah, fucking boy, yeah. Well, I noticed that fucking. I was like, all right, you still making it or what?
Yeah, my boy Vic, he's doing a lot of scoring, you know, and then I'll come in and drop a couple of verses here and there in Spanish verses, you know.
You freestyle?
Chingon.
Nah, man.
Everything.
I can barely remember the written shit.
I was about to put on my sway hat and ask you.
Kid MC.
Oh, damn, man.
Yeah, man. I would want to be a rapper, too. I had a locker full of rhymes and knew him well, bro.
The rhinestone cowboy.
For real, man. I am going to I'm going to come up with a rap album one day, man.
That would be sick, man.
Like rapping Rodney or something.
That was cool, dog.
No respect. No respect.
Do a
rapping Rodney. He gets no respect. Rapping Rodney. Hey. I told my son, one day you're gonna have kids on your own. He said, so are you. No respect. No respect. Rapping Rodney. For that fool, Rodney, as old as he was, bro, he kept it with the times.
Hell yeah. That's what
a lot of comedians,
bad
a lot of
entertainers
keep up with the streets. You gotta know the streets, bro. You can't be an idiot like fucking Donald Trump and confusing 9/11 with 7/11. You can't be a fool, bro.
ISIS, not ISIS.
Oh, man.
I know, man.
That's the biggest mistake you can make.
That fool's probably not even sleeping right especially now. That fool's going to have a heart attack.
Especially
watch,
you trying
fool.
To be a fucking president.
Red face, fool.
How would you feel, man, if the person you're voting for doesn't know the difference between a 7-Eleven and a 9/11? And even if you could say, well, they wrote that for him, he should know.
He should know, yeah.
Just like, he should not read the prompter. What are you, fucking Ron Burgundy on fucking Anchorman?
Pretty
Go
much.
Fuck yourself, San Diego.
You got to double check yourself. Like, what the fuck is that, right?
Do I like it on my ass? You know what I mean?
No.
No, man. Well,
stop signing.
My stepson is voting for Hillary, he told me.
He's on the right path.
He's been on the Hillary wagon for a while, bro. Even when I try to mention Bernie Sanders, you know, who's that old man? I don't want that guy from Back to the Future to win.
Doc Brown.
Hey, Doc.
I like that kids are more involved now, you know. Like, when I was a kid, did you guys have fake elections for presidents? In your class?
I think we did.
We did too.
Yeah.
We did too.
ASB.
And Ronald Reagan won. Yeah. Yeah, but sometimes they got to do that, bro. Little elections.
Oh, hell yeah, dog.
Did you run for class president?
No, I was a treasurer. I didn't want to be in the spotlight.
You're like, fuck that.
Nah. Ever since then, bro, this got to be a 1% Jew.
You know what I'm saying? Shout out to all the Jews out there.
So originally you're from Boyle Heights. Boyle Heights and East LA.
Yeah.
What streets?
I grew up. And by Indiana and First Street, and then of course on Soto on First Street and that whole area, Cesar Chavez, you know.
Indiana and First Street, that's where the First Street store.
I used to stay right there with my aunt all the time. Right there, then one of my aunts lived over there by Chicago and Michigan.
Damn.
Another aunt lived over here by Tepeyac.
Tepeyac.
On Fairmont and Blanchard. So I was like, I was all over the place, man.
So you used to order pizza from Luigi's.
Oh, all the time, man. You know, and King Cole.
Let me tell you about Luigi's. The streets that he mentioned right now is pretty much 3 miles away from the housing projects, Pico Aliso. And Luigi's Pizza was the only pizza that delivered in the projects. But they won't deliver in the project. You just gotta give them an address and they'll just drop it off.
That was it, yeah.
So I would call. I knew an address across the street that was 405 South Clarence Street. Right? And if you were on 412 on the even numbers, you were in the projects. So they didn't deliver to Clarence Street on the even numbers. Like, you can't be 212 Clarence Street. You can't be, 144. You got to be 711.
Just odds.
Odd numbers.
You got to be outside waiting.
So you got to be outside waiting, bro. I'm sitting there like Elaine on Seinfeld waiting for fish. So as soon as he would get there, he'd drop off a six-pack of Pepsis and two large pizzas, bro, with some fucking chicken wings.
You were saying
first. Take it across the street, and people would be like, homie, who delivers that shit? Luigi, you got that number? Yeah. But you got to order from across the street, dog, or else they won't show up.
You got to wait. Right
there. And they never got robbed.
I used to order pizza all the time. Crank calling and order pizza for people. And
yeah,
shit.
Dog!
Neighbors across the street, you know?
That bitch up the street.
One time I ordered like 20 pizzas and shit, sent it to the lady down the street. She's always giving me a hard time back when, we were younger. We always be playing football in the street, in the middle of the street. Always getting mad because we were playing football. So one day I said, fuck it, I'm going to just order some pizzas. Order like 20 pizzas, man. And I think she bought them all too.
No, they still the bad.
That's one of the best pizza pranks I ever heard.
Hell yeah, dog.
That's crazy because
you still do it today, dog.
You can still do it because they're going to believe you.
Hell yeah.
But they ask you, give me your phone number.
Yeah, they call you back. Yeah, I'm right here waiting at the door. See,
before they wouldn't, they just wanted your address and I was
Yeah, give me that phone number. The phone number is your public phone.
Oh, man.
What's up, Rodrigo? Okay, upcoming chilling, shows. Though. Dallas, Texas. I've been Arlington Improv.
This week.
May 19th through the 22nd with Rodrigo Torres and Keith Manning.
Get off the field.
Okay, everybody. Get ready. Everybody who lives in Dalton, Georgia. Okay, that's close enough for you guys to drive to Chattanooga, Tennessee. May 27th through the 29th at Comedy Catch. I'm there with Rodrigo Torres and Marcela Arguello. Hoover, Alabama? What? I'm going to Hoover, Alabama. I might have sex with your sister right after your uncle. June 3rd through the 5th at Comedy Club Stardom. That's the baddest comedy club in the South. Comedy Club Stardom. A lot of great comics have performed there and sold that shit out. Bruce, Earthquake. Big names, man. And now Felipe Sparks is coming. So, man, everybody know, man, there'll be a Mexican showing up this time. Hit up fans at FelipeSWorld.com for a couple of free tickets to the show in Alabama. And when I mean a couple of free tickets, I mean if you ask for five, I'm going to give them to you. Orlando, Florida. Only Alabama. Orlando, Florida. June 9 through June 12 at the Orlando Improv. San Diego, California, one show only, July 15 at Humphreys by the Bay. Spread the word so we can fill up that place. Not only do we want to fill up this place with people, we want people who have sailboats to sail and park your boat on the side of the show, on the side of the stage, and you can watch the show from there and listen to it. So if you have a boat, if you have a fucking bodyboard,
a schooner,
paddle your ass to the bay and watch me perform for the seals. Also, check out all my dates for the rest of the year at FelipeSWorld.com/tour. Don't forget, if you're going to buy something on Amazon, make sure you use our Amazon search window on FelipeSWorld.com because every time you buy something on Amazon, our site will get a little cut. Also, if you want to be a cool-ass person and post it up that you bought something through our page, we'll also give you a shout-out and a big thank you, man.
Hell yeah.
Love you. Everybody who listens to this podcast, I want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you very much for your viewership, for your listens, for liking our page and telling us how much you love our show when we meet you. You might say that we don't want to hear it, man. We do want to hear it. My nipples are getting hard. I'm getting the goose chills. I'm getting emotional here. But yes, we do love it. We love doing this show. We love doing this show. Also, man, if you haven't heard, I have a podcast with my wife. It's called the Enchilada Casserole Podcast. And we do that every other week. And we have a lot of women listeners on this show. And they love it. And it's a whole different show from this. The Yeah Mans and the What's Up Fools are minimal. There isn't a loud-ass laugh. You get to see a side of me that you don't see on this one. You know, right here I'm fronting.
You wear a tuxedo on that one?
Yeah, I'm just kidding, people. I'm the real G Holyfield. Shout out to Birdman for falling off with Harley Davidson this weekend.
Harleys ain't for kids, old man.
Yeah, man. That fool thought he would just go real fast, bro.
Get road eagle
over
here.
Get a dab and get on a motorcycle, bro.
Yeah, that's what he gets for waking up the whole fucking hotel.
But he still showed up like a soldier.
Like Frankenstein, dog.
That fool was taking photos like Frankenstein. Shout out to that big chief he brought.
Yeah. What was his name? Raymond.
Shout out to Raymond
in your boxes.
Made the big ass Keith box for me. Thank you very much. Anybody out there, if you want a personalized Keith box, I got the man for you. And it's not going to cost you no $400. This motherfucker has wood coming out of his back.
This
guy is a cool. You're going to believe this, Citric. This guy showed up. A Native American guy showed up with a fat ass Keith box and put an ounce in there and gave it to me. Anyway, so shout out to him.
That's right.
He's hilarious. I meet people, man, who get inspired by this show, bro.
Yeah,
by both shows. Like, he told me that he was in a coma, bro, and the podcast brought him back.
Damn.
I'm just kidding. But it's a the podcast keeps bringing him back. And he's a Native American, man. He doesn't drink because, you know, because he don't want to turn into a wild Indian.
Drinking that fire water.
What's up, fool? Take care, everybody. We love you. Also, man, keep liking our post. And also, man, write a review because, man, we're moving on up because of you guys. This is your podcast.
Hell yeah.
We're here for you guys. Anything you want to say, Citric? Citric, about watching your show on TV Land?
Thank you, Anthony.
Yeah, make sure to check it out every Wednesday at 10 p.m., you know, Lopez on TV Land. You know, it's funny, man. It's a good show, man. You know, not just because I'm on there, but, you know, it's a good show. You guys got to check it out.
I say everybody watch this show, man, because Moranzio needs a job. All right?
Moranzio, little by little, he's going to become George's really, really opening act.
Rodrigo, what's up?
Nothing, chilling, dog.
All right.
You know me.
Thank you, everybody. Good night. Goodbye.
Yeah. Be cool.
Good. Everything.
Keep shining.